In a library, yeah, standing there behind the counter, willing to help with all the problems that I encounter. Helps me find Hemingway, helps me find Genet, helps me find Brett, helps me find...
Kia ora. Welcome to the first ever Books and Beyond. I'm Louisa.
And I'm Karen.
And we're here to share with you our love of books and all things books. We're hoping this weekly show will be entertaining and informative for you. We both work at Auckland Libraries, where thousands of books pass through our hands every day. So we thought, who better than us to share a conversation about them? Not only is it our first show, but it's also a new year. So we thought we'd start off today by looking at last year's winners in the popularity stakes at Auckland Libraries. So what do you have for us today, Karen? Any news out of the library?
Yes, I have here a copy of the Auckland Library's Top 100 of 2017. And this is a list we create every year at the end of the calendar year that shows what's popular with our readers. And it is a list curated by librarians, because if we only have to get 100 books on the list, we want to have something for everyone, because we take our role as a public library very seriously. So we run the stats on what are the most read books, the most issued books, and then we select a range of them. Sort of good ideas when you want to give a present to your uncle, you just can't think of what to give him for his birthday and it's just been Christmas. So the one of the sections of the list is divided into 10 sections, covers the actual top issuing books. If anyone wants to know what were the most issued books at Auckland Libraries over 2017, they just have to look at the blockbusters section and they'll find them there, 1 to 10.
Great, the blockbusters. I see that here. Let me read them out. So, number one, I presume this was ranked number one. Are they ranked in any particular order?
Yeah, they're in order, 1 to 10.
Right, so first of all, we have The Break by Marion Keyes. Then we have The Midnight Line by Lee Child. No surprise there, the Lee Child book. Next is Origin by Dan Brown. The Rooster Bar by John Grisham. The Late Show by Michael Connolly. Come Sundown by Nora Roberts. Meet Me at Beachcomber Bay by Munsell. The Good Daughter by Karen Slaughter. The Thirst by Joan Nesbo. And finally, A Column of Fire by Ken Follett. So any surprises on the list this year, Karen?
Well, the big surprise of the blockbusters this year was that only 4 out of 10 were crime novels. So usually it's about 8 or 9 with a couple of romance thrown in at the end. So the 4 crime books on the list, Lee Child, Michael Connolly, as you said, pretty much household names. Karen Slaughter should be a household name. I hope she is in many households in Auckland. Writes a series set in Atlanta. She came for an author talk at Auckland Libraries that showed a great deal of attitude with a capital A. And Joan Nesbo, who is a Scandinavian noir writer, Norwegian crime writer, whose series stars the improbably named detective Harry Hole.
Oh, right. Perhaps something got lost in translation there, Karen.
Might be. And then followed by some historical fiction, so that's Ken Follett, and conspiracy is the new genre I've invented for Dan Brown, all on my own. But above all,
well done.
We're very pleased to have 4 women on the list this year. So the first one, Marion Keyes, is an Irish writer who describes her own books as feel-good fiction with a difference. And that difference, we might say, is darkness, because Marion Keyes has actually gave some interviews at the beginning of this year about her problems with alcoholism and depression. And her books are, I have to say, this is going to sound a little off the cuff here, she's always reminded me of Molly Bloom, the muse in Ulysses, James Joyce's muse. And I always think of her as a Molly Bloom with her memories of her wild nights in Spain, but then a little dark-edged. And Jill Mansell is feel-good fiction, describes herself happily as just plain feel-good fiction. So we're calling her rom-com, and Nora Roberts is just plain rom. So that's romance. So the way to remember these, Louisa, is we've got Blom-com, for Molly Bloom, Rom-Com for Jill Mansell, and Plain Rom for Nora Roberts.
Oh.
And there you've got your women's authors.
Sir. Oh, thank you for that insight, Karen, and thank you for helping us sort out our Rom reading for those who love that particular genre. And, of course, it is a very popular genre out there in Auckland libraries. I saw recently the wait list for the Marion Keys book, and it's quite a wait, so she is very popular. And so going back to the top 100 picks for 2017, is there any New Zealand flavour on that list, Karen?
Well, Louisa, not only is there a New Zealand flavour, but there are a number of New Zealand titles on the list, because I'm happy to report that Kiwis enjoy reading Kiwi authors, and since this list is based on popularity. So in nonfiction, I'd really like to signal The New Zealand Project by Max Harris, who was one of the stars of last year's Writers' Festival, and a lovely book, confrontational, thought-provoking, very interesting book about hidden discrimination, which is called Old Asian, New Asian by Emma Ng. And in the children's section, a fabulous book called Fabulous Tales. So it's How to Mend IKEA and Other Fabulous Fix-It Tales from Wild Base Hospital. And this is a book about wildlife, care for wildlife. And there's a darlingest little Kea in a little white terry cloth robe on the cover of the book.
I can see that, Karen. It's just gorgeous. And it's a shame that our listeners, well, readers, can't see that cover. So hopefully they do check out that book, because it really is adorable.
They want to see the bird with the two bandages around his feet. It was looking like it's walking on a little paddleboard.
Very cute.
And there's nothing like a book about animals to bring the family together. That's what we always say. So also Aotearoa, The New Zealand Story, a Gavin Bishop book.
Oh, I am so pleased to see a Gavin Bishop book on that list. My favourite Gavin Bishop is the iconic picture book, The House That Jack Built. So I was quickly looking at Aotearoa the other day. The pictures are very, the illustrations are very much the house that Jack built, which is just the weaving of the two cultures and the two stories, again, the same themes as from that picture book. So I hope everyone does check that book out as well from that top list. It's really, really highly recommended from me anyway. Anyway, what else have we got there, Karen?
So we've got one of the most top popular of the top populars. This book has been a runaway success. It's Tom Scott's memoir, Drawn Out. And in that same section, which we call Life and Times, the other runaway success, Diana Wichtel's Driving to Treblinka. And then a book which I've just started reading, which I highly recommend, Island Nurses, Stories of Birth, Life, and Death on Remote Great Barrier Island. This is a fascinating book about a truly fascinating place. In the illustrated nonfiction, a wonderful book called Manifesto Aotearoa, 101 Political Poems, edited by Philip Temple and Emma Neal. And I'm just going to put out there that I think we might be having one of the poets in here in a future program reading her poem from the book.
Ooh, looking forward to that.
And in that same section, a book on apartment living in New Zealand, and the book on the sounds and the songs of the New Zealand's Great War, Goodbye Māori Land. And then we have a book club section where one of the favorite book club picks was Heloise by Mandy Hager. So, yep, I say New Zealand is well represented.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to, I haven't tried them, read them all from that list, but I'm definitely going to try them all out. Thank you, Karen.
If you had read them all, Louisa, I think that perhaps it would be time for you to just lie down and die. So just as well, you've still got something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's the start of the year, okay? Starting my New Year's
list. That's right. There you go. And if you can read one in the next 2 weeks, you can log it as one of the challenges for the Great Summer Read and begin to win one of our prizes.
Cool. So I can do it with my Gavin Bishop book that I was just waffling on about. And because it's a children's book, it's nonfiction, my favorite genre. And so I can definitely get through that in 2 weeks' time.
Brilliant. This is a good chance to remind everybody out there that the Great Summer Read at Auckland Libraries runs until the end of January, and you're still in time to log your first challenge or your second or your third and be in to win one of our fabulous prizes, over 100 of them. Just go to the website, go to the Auckland Library's website, go to the Great Summer Read page, and you'll see a list of all of the challenges and a list of the prizes.
Cool. I'm going to do that. So what are some of the books that people are reading as part of the challenge?
Well, I have had a look at some of the results coming in and through the website, and I actually happen to know the three most popular books that people have chosen for the various challenges. So I'm going to give this to you as a little quiz. What do you think the most popular book chosen for a Great Summer Read Challenge was? And I've got a hint for you as well. Ooh. It's got book in the title.
Oh, you've made it so much easier for me. So how about The Book Thief?
Well, that's the one. Well done. The Book
Yay.
Thief came out as number one, followed closely on its heels by Alice in Wonderland and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Wow.
Which was
so
the most chosen
classics.
Book last year as well. To Kill a Mockingbird was the most chosen book last year.
Wow. Great to see so many classics in there. And what else has been emerging out of the great summer read challenges?
I saw an emerging title when I was looking through to see what were the most borrowed titles. I did come across a great one that I thought, look at this, Death by Burrito. And I wondered, right then and there, I thought, is that a title of a book or is this somebody's comment on the challenge, read a cookbook and make something from it? But it was indeed a book title. Somebody had read this book. It's a culinary crime book. Did you know, Louisa, that there was a genre of fiction of crime writing called culinary crime?
No. No surprise there with the popularity of cookbooks in the library.
Popularity of cookbooks and popularity of crime. I see cookbooks are one of the most popular nonfiction categories, and crime is our most popular recreational reading.
So they've come
genre,
together.
So there you go, culinary crime. But of the series Read a Cookbook and Make Something From It, which is one of our challenges, I did really enjoy, there's a space on the logging on the challenge logging form for your optional comments. And somebody had done the challenge, read a cookbook and make something from it. And the comment was, always aerate the egg whites first. Nom. So I looked at that and I thought, is this a person who forgot to aerate the egg whites first? Or is this a person who was proud of themselves for having aerated the egg whites first? And this was a person who'd made corn fritters, a recipe for corn fritters from the Mad Butcher's Barbecue book.
Wow, good on them. Well done.
How are your corn fritters, Louisa?
I'm just going to have to read the recipe and learn to aerate them.
To aerate the egg whites, to whip up your corn fritters. And another set of comments that I really enjoyed was someone who had done the challenge, find a poem and share it with someone. And this person had read a poem to her son, Exegi Monumentum, but she commented, I also read The New Jerusalem by William Blake.
William Blake.
Sorry, William, looking at me down from your other side of your doors of perception. That was William Blake. My old school song, she wrote. And In the Poppy Field by James Stevens. These are all from a book, Shakespeare to Hardy, published in 1939, which belonged to my grandmother. So I thought that was so fascinating.
Yeah, and good on her.
Yes, and I went and looked up this poem that she read to her son, and it was actually an ode by Horace. I didn't know. This is what's so wonderful about working in a library. It's not just the books that you recommend to people. It's the books you find out about from people. You'll know that from your time in the library.
People's stories are always so interesting.
People's stories, what people have been reading, what people want to read. And this poem, I just have to read you. May I take this moment to read you first five lines from this beautiful poem by Horace?
I can't wait. Go ahead, Karen.
This is Ode 3.3 by Horace, by the Roman poet Horace. I have created a monument more lasting than bronze and loftier than the royal structure of the pyramids, that which neither devouring rain nor the unrestrained north wind may be able to destroy, nor the immeasurable succession of years and the flight of time. I shall not wholly die, and a greater part of me will evade Libitina. Isn't that beautiful?
That is so beautiful.
So Libitina, did you know who Libitina was?
No.
I didn't either.
Say more.
Libitina was the goddess of death. So he says, I shall not wholly die, and a greater part of me will evade Libitina, will evade the goddess of death. And I thought, this is actually quite a good metaphor for writing, which is of course, the fact that you will die, but your words that you have put into a book for people to read will continue to live after you. So you will, a greater part of you will evade the goddess of death.
Nice.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And on the lighter side, one of my favorite comments was for the challenge, read a funny book. So this one, I'll tell you, first I'll tell you the comment, and then I'll tell you the name of the book. The comment was, the grandchildren thought this was hilarious. I wasn't quite so sure. And the book was Gangsta Granny by David Walliams. I love that idea.
Yeah,
grandmother reading Gangsta Granny and not finding it quite as funny as her grandchildren had found it.
And such popular books as well, the David Walliams.
Yes.
Anything David Walliams seems to be very, very
so
popular.
He's on our top 100? Is he on our top 100? Did he make it on?
He probably did. Yeah, one of his books probably is.
Bad Dad, David Walliams.
Yeah.
I knew he had to be there. We do sometimes have a moment of doubt about books that are so obviously in the top 100. We're saying, do we really need to tell people about that book? But I think with David Walliams, the tribute is necessary. Absolutely deserves it.
So thank you, Karen, for sharing those comments with us from the Great Summer Reading Program.
Well, thank you to all of our readers for making such wonderful comments. So any of you out there who are taking part in the Great Summer Read, who are filling out that challenge login form on the website, be sure and leave those optional comments. We love them.
We sure do. And guess what, Karen? We've made it halfway through our first show today. So let's take a short break. I think that's what we're supposed to do right now. And it's a great time to hear more of our intro track, which was specially selected for this show. It's a song by the Go-Betweens, and it happens to be called Karen, all about the most helpful librarian, Karen. So let's hear more of it.
Absolutely a coincidence, not chosen for that reason, chosen because it celebrates everybody who works in libraries, but it was the fact that the name is Karen does factor in, because the song was introduced to me by somebody who, when I very first went to work in Auckland Libraries over 15 years ago now, the first thing that one of the team members said to me was, so Karen, like in the song by the Go-Betweens. So
it was
a contributing factor.
Yeah, and here it is. So let's hear more.
Enjoy.
Japanese. I just want some affection. Wish I heard voices. Wish I was a telephone. Karen, yeah, yeah, Karen. Yeah, yeah, Karen. Yeah, yeah, Karen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said yeah. Willing to help with all the problems that I encounter. Helps me find Hemingway, helps me find Genet, helps me find Brett, helps me find Chandler, helps me find James Joyce. She always makes the right choice. She's no queen, she's no angel, just a peasant from the village. She's my God, she's my God, she's my G-O-D. She's my God, yeah, yeah, she's my G-O-O-D, yeah. She's my yeah, Karen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the song about Karen, the librarian. Before the break, we were talking about the Great Summer Read, and I was going to ask you, Karen, if there was anything, a challenge in the program about reading an oldie but a goodie book. I see you've got something in your hand that you've brought along today.
That looks quite old, is what you were... This
didn't happen
in your sense. I see you've got a vintage book there in your hand. I do have a vintage book. It's not for a Great Summer Read Challenge, but we change the challenges every year to keep people excited about reading. And we did have one challenge last year that was read a book that was over 50 years old. This book is even more than 50 years old. So I was very surprised when I looked up what year it was written. But I'm actually reading it I've brought it along for our new segment on...
That's right.
Vintage. What was that?
That's right. Our treasure from the basement.
Yeah.
So we were thinking that each week we were going to try and include a gem from the basement segment in the show. And that's because the Auckland Central Library has this treasure trove of the best books from the past. And
over 600,000 of them.
Wow. And so Karen managed to find one. Can you tell us more about it, Karen?
Yes, I can. I actually found this book for another Great Summer Read Challenge, but didn't get around to reading it. Had too many books on. We had a challenge. It was reread a childhood favorite. And I thought about what could I read that would be particularly meaningful for me in relooking at my childhood favorites. And I remembered that when I was 11 years old, and I had my very first job in a library. So this was in my intermediate school where I got a job as a shelver.
Wow, you did start early.
I did start early. And one of the books that I read that school year when I was working shelving books in the library was a book which I feel has actually had a strong influence, perhaps was the defining influence on my decision later in life, much later in life, to become a librarian. And the book was called Parnassus on Wheels by an American author named Christopher Morley. And this book, I was sure, in my memory, was a book about a traveling library, a mobile library. Like we have the Auckland Library buses that go around and go out to schools and rest homes and so on.
We actually have four of them.
We have four of them, that's right, for all points of the compass. And I thought this was a book about a traveling library. When I decided I would reread it, and I went, I wonder if the Central City Library basement has it, and I went, and sure enough, it did, I discovered to my surprise that it was actually not exactly how I remembered it. It's not a traveling library, it's a traveling bookshop. But I feel the spirit's the same. So it's bringing books to people in unexpected places and unexpected books. And it's a fabulous book. So I went to see what year it was written. This was another big surprise for me. I thought it might be post-war. It turned out to have been written in 1917. And one of the reasons it was so...
So it was already an old book by the time you read it.
It was already an old book. I was not born in 1910. It was already an old book by the time I read it. But what's so amazing about the book is I think this is another defining influence on me is that it's quite a, what I like to call, a proto-feminist novel, in the sense that it's actually a very empowering story for women and girls to read. This book is based on it's basically a women's liberation story. So there's a woman named Helen, very practical name, who lives on a farm with her brother. She's never gotten married, and she was farming, or she and her brother were keeping the family farm, but he, at a certain point, decided to publish a book on his musings on the pastoral life, which was a huge success, and he became a sort of a literary figure, where she was still slaving away in the kitchen, counting selling eggs. She raised, she had poultry, and she sold eggs and count. Well, she had to counter eggs all the time to sell them to make her little money, her pin money. And she was getting more and more resentful about how he was lazing around, smoking his pipe, and thinking literary thoughts, and she was in the kitchen counting the eggs. And one day, a man appears at their door. He's off on a literary trip somewhere, the brother. A man appears at the door in a little caravan, all decked out with bookshelves and books, and drawn by a horse-drawn caravan that also has a little, it's like a little gypsy caravan. And he's brought the caravan all the way to their farm because he wants to sell it to her brother. He's tired of being on the road all by himself, day in, day out, all kinds of weather. And he thinks it's time to move on, and he thinks her brother would be a perfect buyer for this book bus. But she, being a smart woman, thinks, well, what does my brother need? He doesn't need this thing to change his life. The person here who needs to change his life is me. So she buys the caravans. She buys Parnassus on Wheels, as it's called. And she takes off with the previous owner, who's going to give her a bit of a handover. So they're going to go traveling around together. And the very first thing that happens when she climbs up onto the little bench where you hold the reins of the horse is that he hands the reins to her, which I thought was really fantastic. You know, there we go. 1917, hands over the reins. Mm-hmm. No, you drive, you drive. So the book follows their adventures, and at a certain point, before we get into the adventures, there was a part I wanted to read. May I do a short read?
Go ahead.
Everyone happy to have a short read? So this
I'm sure the readers are going, the listeners, sorry, here I go again. Readers,
they are
listeners.
Readers.
Yeah. Enjoy the dulcet tones of your reading, Karen. Go ahead.
It's not the reading. It's not my reading. It's the wonderful words of Christopher Morley. So when the man pulls up with his gypsy caravan, he pulls out a printed card and hands it to her, and the card says, Roger Mifflin's Traveling Parnassus. Followed by this poem. Worthy friends, my wain doth hold many a book, both new and old. Books, the truest friends of man, fill this rolling caravan. Books to satisfy all uses, golden lyrics of the muses, books on cookery and farming, novels passionate and charming. Every kind for every need, so that he who buys may read. What librarian can surpass us? Mifflin's Traveling Parnassus.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful.
It's just
so, let's ignore that, what librarian can surpass us, because we know two who can surpass him right here in the room. But anyway, so we think librarians, booksellers, we're all part of the team.
Love your work, Karen. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a beautiful story, and I'm looking
forward
to it.
Well, I wasn't done.
Yeah, she's on a roll today, people.
So I just wanted to finish with the other proto-feminist fact of this book, which is the happy ending, which is that, as you might expect, she and Roger Mifflin fall in love and get married. But the wonderful part of the story is that, again, he proposes, he does say, you know, why don't we get married? But the wonderful thing is then she says, he says, actually, I love you. I'd like to marry you. Should we get married? And then he says, so let's go in and get a hotel room and think some more about it. Da, da, da. And she says, no, let's drive over right now and have them tie the knot up at the courthouse. So, you know, takes it right into hand and continues on her new way of life in this marvelously assertive and liberated way. So there you go. That's what led me to where I am today. Libraries and stroppiness. And that's it for this week. We've gotten through our first half hour. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Louisa, how did you like it?
Oh,
did you enjoy
it? So much fun today, Karen. And I hope everyone out there enjoyed listening to us as well. We'll
see
be back
next week
with more topics and news on the
world of books
and beyond. See you then. Bye-bye.
Was brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz
and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond. Every day.